This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.ordinariate.org.
The following sermon was preached on Sunday, March 12, 2023, the third Sunday in Lent, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Being justified, therefore, by faith, let us have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, and glory in the hope of the glory of the Son of God.
May the words of my mouth, meditation of all of our hearts, be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.
Amen. Let's take a reading from today, Romans chapter 5. It is a very pointed and succinct passage. It speaks first and foremost of this hope that we have, this hope that we will glory as the sons of God. It is a confirmation for us regarding the glory that awaits us. It's interesting to look at it also in the fact that it interlaces the three theological virtues that are not ours by nature, but we receive at baptism, faith, charity, and hope. They're actually mentioned explicitly. In that passage, we hear about faith. When as yet we were sinners, Christ died for us. None of us was there when Jesus died. We've never seen a movie of Jesus dying for us. We have to embrace it in faith. This is what faith is all about, believing things that are not seen, things that are hoped for. This is faith. It emphasizes faith. It emphasizes charity. If you have this faith, says explicitly, you will receive charity of God that is poured forth in your hearts by the Holy Ghost that has been given to you. We have faith and charity, and hope is mentioned more than the other two. Charity is always the first and foremost. I mean, the Holy Spirit teaches us. Charity, everything without charity is dead. But one of the things that nurtures charity and nurtures faith is a holy, realistic hope in what we do here. This is what the passage teaches. It not only teaches us about these things propositionally, but it actually speaks of them practically. Unfortunately, you did not hear the practical part. If you will peruse your bulletin, Romans chapter 5, verses 1 through 8. Well, not 1 through 8, 1 through 2, and then 5 through 8. Why? Why is that? Well, I'll get to that in a second. What are the verses you didn't hear? Talk about hope, faith, and charity. We can think of these propositions subjectively, how we approach them, what we feel about them. God does not want us to think about our faith subjectively. He wants us to appreciate the fact that it is real. And in verses 3 and 4, we see the reality. We talk about our Lord through St. Paul, presents to us this hope that we have in Jesus Christ, coming glory as the sons of God. It said, verse 3, and not only so, don't leave it with this just a holy hope, like a conjecture, but we glory also in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience trial, and trial hope. Hope is real. Hope is real, but hope is something that is gained. Hope is something that is nurtured. I said before, I got ahead of myself, why would they leave that out to tell it practically how we gain and increase our hope? Why would they leave that out of the lectionary? I don't know. Somebody dropped the ball somewhere. I just leave it at that. I know why, and everybody else should know why. Why? Because it flies in the face of easy believism. It flies in the face of the grave sin of presumption on God's grace. And because if you just read what we read, Oh, in our Lord Jesus Christ and in faith in Him, you just should have hope as the glory of the sons of God. Skip, and hope is great, and He died for your sins while you were yet sinner. That's not the whole message. Because this engages us, this part. It negates easy believism. It negates presuming on God's grace. Is, hey, you got your part to play in this, whether you like it or not. And the whether you like it or not are tribulations in this world, problems. This tremendously resonated with me, and I didn't plan it this way because I usually, early in the week, I thought, I knew I was going to preach on this, but then I got an object lesson throughout the week. This is a little parish. We've got several really bad things going on right now. And I mean, we as a parish, we as in members of our parish, really bad things. I mean, really bad sickness, danger sickness. Kip was like, Kip kept emails and texts. Like, what the heck? What the heck? Now, it can be depressing, particularly if you're one of the ones dealing with that. It can be depressing, but why ought it not be depressing with us? Because of what these left out verses tell us. We glory in tribulation, knowing, emphasis on knowing, the tribulation worketh patience, and patience trial, and trial hope. These bad things that happen to people, everybody gets their turn in the barrel. Yeah, it's just a given. When you go through these things, you need to understand that they are there for your good. How is somebody dying good for me? Because it's a hurdle to overcome in this world. And if you maintain your faith, that hurdle after you jump it is a validation of the graces that our Lord gives you to persevere through that. You maintain your faith. It proves to you that you're not going to fall away, particularly when it's really bad. You maintain your faith when something really bad happens, then you've proved something to yourself. And yeah, we're supposed to crack the book open. We're supposed to prove to God our faith. And the way we do it is really, and by I mean really, dealing with these things. This is what the Holy Spirit is teaching us. Because what do we want? We want to go to heaven, right? We want to go to heaven. That's why we're here. Or we would sleep in on Sundays or go fishing or something. We're here. Why? We want to go to heaven. It's not going to be handed to you. Newsflash. God is not going to miracle you into heaven. And another newsflash, everybody doesn't go there. As a matter of fact, to use our Lord's stats, most don't. Wow. If you hear that, if you hear that kind of stuff, most don't go to heaven, then all of a sudden, how do I get there? You don't got to figure it out. There it is. Endure tribulation so that it builds patience and it builds hope. It builds hope in you. St. Thomas Aquinas speaks of this. In this context, St. Thomas Aquinas is a person who hopes for something and strives eagerly to attain it, is ready to endure all kinds of difficulty and distress. Look at this world, just this world. If somebody wants something, they will work their tail off to get it. Particularly, the more you want it, the more you work. I mean, look at some athletes. Hey, you kids in their teenage years. They want to go to the Olympics. Guess what? Picture this, the before and after picture. You're going to go to the Olympics if you want to go to the Olympics. I want to go to the Olympics. I want to win, name your poison, or whatever event. I want to go there. And you sit in your lazy boy, and you watch ESPN and watch the sport, while you sit there and stuff your face with M&M's and Doritos. Guess what? You're not going to win anything. As a matter of fact, you're going to get more and more fat and sloppy. You're not going to win anything. You're going to be a consideration. Okay? Unfortunately, there's a lot of Catholics, to use the analogy, they sit around in their lazy boys, and they stuff their face with the M&M's of sin and the Doritos of worldliness, They're not going anywhere. And they're sitting there watching it on TV. Well, that harkens back to some recent stuff, doesn't it? Well, watch Mass on TV. You get nothing out of TV. Nothing. You receive no graces. What do you got to do to be an athlete and go to the Olympics? You got to get up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, train. And most of them are going to school, so then they have to study, and then they go to school, and then they train in the afternoon when they get home, and they go home and they eat right, which means not what normal people like to eat, and then they go train again. That's what they do. How much greater is heaven? And we expect that we can watch it on TV, and it's just going to be handed to us. No, it is not. No, it is not. The Holy Spirit lets us know in Romans that we need to endeavor through this. It is an absolute necessity to put forth effort, or you're going to have no hope. This is the reality of our faith. To negate this reality is to deny the way God works with us. How often do you hear this nonsense in the modernist church presented here, there, and everywhere? God wants us to be happy. There's a place in this book. Not one place in this book. I always throw the gauntlet. Go home and find it for it and throw it up my back. God wants you to be happy. He says you will be happy if you have faith and obedience. You will be happy. He don't want you to be happy. He wants you to go to heaven. He sent his son to die for you on the cross. That's how much he wants you to go to heaven. You know, we would never conceive of giving one of our kids up for anybody to do anything. And he sent his son for all of us to go to heaven. That's the way he works. That's what he does. And because he did that, he wants us to prepare ourselves for heaven. And he lets us know throughout Scripture, not just Romans 5, James chapter 1. Count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing that the trying of your faith worketh patience. 1 Peter 1. You shall greatly rejoice if now you must be for a little time made sorrowful in diverse temptations. Every time that we confront something in this world, death, sickness, name your poison, every single time we do that, it's a temptation. It's a temptation to fall away from the faith. It's a temptation to shake your fist at God. But this is the way God works. It's not just of those places, Philippians, Colossians, it talks about, this is God's providence, it's his will. This is why I'm always talking about how nauseous I get and infuriated I get. Yeah, I use that word. Infuriated I get when I hear, particularly Catholic, that wasn't God's will. Last time I listened to Jesus, he said, not a sparrow falls from the sky. He counts the numbers of the hairs on your head. And something that's happening to you because it's bad isn't God's will. You know, last time I heard when we say the creed, you know, the very first thing we say, I believe in God, the Father Almighty. Almighty. You're not almighty if something slips by you, particularly something that really devastates one of your people. It's stupid. Yeah, there's that word. To say that something's not God's will. We just got to get with his program. That's the important thing that we need to do. This is what this is all about. Origen, very early church father, he talks about, you know, it talks about the suffering. It's the word rejoice. You know, both of those places, greatly rejoice if now you are made sorrowful. Well, am I sorrowful or am I rejoicing? It's not a matter of rejoicing over the sorrow. It's a matter of rejoicing of what it is doing for you. If you look at the word rejoice, that's not always positive. Now, we hear in Scripture a whole lot about people who rejoice over their wisdom or over their riches or over their strength. They rejoice in that. That's bad. Yeah, you're rejoicing, but it's a bad rejoicing. Suffering are things that are, because those things I mentioned, they're good. Riches, strength, wisdom. They're good things, but we don't rejoice in them. We have to look at them as gifts of God to us. Suffering, the same thing. It's not a pleasant thing to endure, but you rejoice in it because of the ends. The ends that are the result of the means. And these are the means that God uses because we learn through these. And you use the athletes as an, you know, name your analogy of people who will work toward things in this world. For us, hope is not a conjecture. Hope is for us a reality. Most people aren't going to win some Olympic thing. Very few people get to go there, which should tell you something. That's why St. Paul uses the analogy of athletes. Only one wins a crown, that whole statistics thing. But there's a lot more people than one in heaven. But nonetheless, the stats are there for us. A lot of people go to college. It, you know, the vast majority of people graduate high school. Okay, you want your degree. You want your diploma. What do you got to do? I'm just going to sit here and never take a test and never pass any practicals and never study. Guess what? You're not going to get your degree. But every test that you pass, you get a medical school, every practical that you pass, the residency that you endure when you can't sleep for days and all these kind of things, every time you pass something, it's closer. And you know it. You know when you get into medical school, you know, I do what I'm supposed to do. If I study, if I go through my residency, if I do this, if I do that, I'm going to be a doctor. And then every test you pass, I'm closer to being a doctor. Every practical, the residency, I'm closer to being a doctor. Then all of a sudden you're a doctor. That's our Catholic life. That's our Catholic life. I want to go to heaven. Every hurdle in this world where you continue and maintain your faith, it's closer. I'm actually going to heaven. Because if I wasn't really faithful, I would have lost it back then. It's objective. I would have lost it if it hadn't been for faith. Because it's not hope in your mind. It's not conjecture. It's hope plus endurance. It's a hope that is tried and tested. That's what happens when we're confronted with these things. That's working toward perfection. Perfection, you know, that word scares so many people. You know, our Lord looked and said, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Oh, that's just like a churchy saying because it's impossible. If it were impossible, it would be wrong to say that and Jesus wouldn't be perfect. He says it and he meant it. It's not a suggestion. It doesn't mean you're going to throw a light switch and you're going to wake up tomorrow morning because Jesus said that it'd be perfect. What do you have to do? You have to work at it. Okay, he doesn't say, I am going to make you perfect as your Father. He says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Now, St. Teresa of Avila, St. Teresa of Avila, read her a lot. She's awesome. St. Teresa of Avila, she's speaking in this context of perfection and in the context of what we have to do. She said, perfection consists in the bringing of our wills so closely in conformity with the will of God that as soon as we realize he wills anything, we desire it ourselves with all our might and take the bitter with the sweet. If we want to get to heaven, God wants you to go there. He's proven that by sending his son to die for you. He wants you to go there and he wants to prove it to you. But you got to do your part in proving that you want it. This is what St. Teresa of Avila is saying. That it comes from the Book of Foundations, the foundations of our faith. This is what our church has always taught. It's what the gospel teaches. When we're confronted with things that bother us, that are a rub, good things happen. The gospel, the woman at the well, Jesus criticizes the way she believes. He criticizes the way she worships. And then one part that you didn't hear today, yeah, and go get your husband. I don't have a husband. Yeah, you're right. You don't. And the one you're with now, he's not your husband. I mean, he's all up in her world. But what does it do for her? It gives a confession of Christ. And not only for her, but for her people that are there in that village. It was a trial for her. It was a rub. It was hard for her. But our Lord used it and brought her to himself. Our church, traditionally anyway, when you go to confession, you don't hear it often when you go to confession in most places. But in traditional places, you will hear after your absolution, there is an indulgence prayer that is said over you. And part of that prayer is all the good that you have received and the evils you have endured before you, your growth in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Not just good, but evils that you have endured before you, your growth in grace and the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's where that comes from. It's always been a Catholic thing. And unfortunately, it's not right now. Hope is real. It's not a conjecture. It's not subjective. It's real because it's not based on, because suffering isn't the ends. Heaven is the ends. And hope is just something that gives us a tangible, objective understanding that we're heading in the right direction. Because the real basis of hope is not suffering, it's divine favor. It's God's favor that he shows on us. That favor is mighty enough to keep the faithful confident in when the most horrible things in life happen. The most horrible things that will drive unfaithful people away from the church. And I will speak for anybody. I know personally many people who have been confronted with the trials of life and have left the church. They've left the church because all they ever heard about was grace and mercy, grace and mercy, grace and mercy. And all of a sudden, well, that's not true. Grace and mercy is true. You need these parts too. Like your endurance and patience and hope through the tribulation of this world that God puts on you because they're his will. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost.